The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Romans chapter 8 begins with a very, very famous New Testament verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Very well-known promise of God's Word, but there are at least half a dozen other really, really quotable, memorable Bible verses in Romans chapter 8, and we'll get to several of them in the latter half of this chapter. And with that, we welcome you to today's edition of Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland here along with Bert Harper. We're in Romans chapter 8, and if you've got a copy of God's Word, please turn to that New Testament book. But Bert, as we begin the show today, I want to wish a happy birthday to somebody. Can we do that?
Yes, as long as I don't have to sing, that sounds good. Go right ahead.
Well, Rue Sembiering is 12 years old today over in Kosciuszko, Mississippi. We've got some very dear friends. They listen to the radio, May and Aaron Sembiering, wonderful Christian family. And May Sembiering farms over there in Kosciuszko. Aaron Sembiering is raising their kids. They've got a great family. And several years ago, I had the privilege of preaching in Kosciuszko. And there was a little girl. She was about 6 years old, Rue. And she just loved, she said, "Mr. Alex, I love to hear you preach." And it just melted my heart. And Angie and I have come to love the Sembiering family. Well, Rue, today is your 12th birthday. May the Lord bless you in all things. And on behalf of Exploring the Word, happy birthday.
Isn't that great? Listen, the children, I think all of us just appreciate children as they love the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, Rue, I have not met you the way Alex has, but happy birthday and many more.
Amen. And hey, don't we rejoice for Christian families?
Yes.
They truly are the future of the country, folks. And if you want to pray for something and advocate for something, advocate for the Christian family.
You bet. And Alex, listen, it is what God did. He's the one that created it. You can't redefine it. They try, like marriage. It's a false thought that you could redefine marriage after God has told us what it is. And the same thing, when God sent his son to the earth, he sent him to a family, Alex. And so that's so important. So I agree with you, and praise God for those families that are following the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, amen. Amen. You know, for a couple of weeks, we've been teaching through the book of Romans. We're at the halfway mark. There are 16 chapters, and we were saying yesterday how the midway point, Romans 8, is like a mountain peak. And we had read up through, like, I believe, 25, and, you know, it says in 26, 27, the Spirit helps us in our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. In other words, things that just words cannot express. And the Holy Spirit, verse 27, searches the hearts, knowing the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You know, Bert, you and I have taught a number of times on the personhood of the Holy Spirit, that God's Holy Spirit is not an it, but the Spirit of God has personality, knowledge, will. And what's interesting, many scholars have pointed out, and Romans 9 alludes to this too, but the Holy Spirit of God knows all the thoughts of man and all the thoughts of God. That's omniscience. And isn't it something that while we pray and we bring our petitions to Christ, the Spirit is interceding for us to the Father with sentiments beyond words, but knowing what we truly need. I'll say this, I'll throw it to you. There's agreement within the Trinity. There's benevolence from God on our behalf. And the Holy Spirit of God, even this moment, is interceding for the church, which includes each and every believer.
Alex, let's combine this. I love this. In John 17, the great priestly prayer where Jesus prayed for us, even then he prayed for us in 2025. And now that's what he did before he went to the cross, before the resurrection, before he ascended. And now we have this statement, the Spirit himself makes intercession for us. In other words, what Jesus prayed for in John 17, the Holy Spirit of God continues praying for us that we would be who we are in Christ Jesus. And this ministry in verse 26, the Spirit himself does this. This is his ministry to make intercession for us. As Jesus interceded for us as sacrifice, the Holy Spirit of God intercedes and he makes intercession for us concerning our needs that we have. And some of those we don't even know we have the need of, but he does, and he prays. So as Jesus prayed ahead of time in John 17 for us, the Holy Spirit of God is praying for us with needs that we don't even know we have. I want to tell you, I think that covers it, brother.
Amen. Amen. Well, this is great news. This is so encouraging, and it gets even better. Now, certainly one of the most famous verses, I've seen it on plaques. I've seen it, every now and then people will get vinyl letters and put a Bible verse just directly on the wall. Romans 8:28. Bert, I want you to read that. This just nugget of gold from the inexhaustible mine that is Scripture. Please read us Romans 8:28.
For we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Go ahead, Alex, and then I'll come in after you do.
Well, let's talk about what it doesn't say. It doesn't say that all things are good, because there are some things that are bad. You know, we're not blind when an illness comes or an injury or one of 10 million things that is common to a fallen world. Bad things happen. But what it is saying, among other things, is that a sovereign God can weave it into the overall good. Satan's schemes against you, God will deflect and turn to blessing and increase. And that's like in Genesis 50 when Joseph told his brothers, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, or literally turned it into something good. So, Bert, I want to be among, to quote from Romans 8:28, them who are the called according to his purpose. You get into the group of called by accepting Christ. How do you know if you're elected? You put your faith in Jesus, and praise God, it turns out you were one of the elect, you know? And then you're living according to his word and his will, and no matter what the world, the flesh, and the devil might throw at you, God, if you'll allow and if you'll trust him for it, will bless you, and even the things that are the trials, he'll turn it into something good. That's a great promise.
It is. And the emphasis here, now listen closely, all of you and here in this broadcast, it's not the things, it's God that does this. God, the New American Standard Version, and I looked it up in the Greek and where it's positioned and how it is, I do believe a better rendering of this is God takes all things, and he is the one that works them for good. God does it. He is able to do that. Just what you said, Alex, the difficulties, the heartaches, we don't see it. All things are not good. A lot of things that happen to us are bad. There's no way you can turn it into making it look good, but God is able to work it, and you said those words, knit it together for good. Now, the whole idea is what for good means. Now, for good, if we're not careful, we'll think, oh, to make my life easy. to give me the American dream, to make me, give me a large bank account. No, I think the verse 29 has to be connected to verse 28 for us to understand what for good is, because verse 29 says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined. Now listen to this, to be conformed to the image of his son. That is what is good. Now, if everything that happened to Bert Harper was just laid out on a silver platter, good, didn't have to work, it was just so easy. When I took Greek, I didn't have to work at all. It was like a second language to me. No, listen.
Now you're bringing back painful memories.
Because
I had Greek too.
Yeah. And listen, no, a lot of these things are difficult and hard, but our God uses them for good. Now, what is the good? That I may become more and more and more like Jesus Christ. And what did Jesus do? He came and he suffered. He went through the whole idea. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. There was rejection. They was turning away. There was difficulty and hardship, and he faced it, even going to the cross, being beaten. So, Alex, God, only God, is able to do this. No government can't, no church can, no family can. As important as family and mom and dad are, they can't do that. But our God is able. So at the end of our life, when we stand before him, I think when we read our title clear, we will have an understanding. God, I know that was bad, but I'm amazed at what you did with it. I'm amazed at what you brought me through. I'm so thankful that you were there all the time. So, Alex, I love 28 because, listen, it makes me understand that God is able to do these things as I put myself in his hands to make me conform to the image of his son, Jesus Christ.
Amen. I want to give a quote, and perhaps a lot of people have heard it, but, you know, talking about, you know, what God's will is, C.S. Lewis said this, and I want to read it to get it verbatim. Lewis said, "We are not necessarily doubting that God will do the best for us. We are wondering how painful that best might turn out to be." And we were at a conference back in February, and there was our dear friend Barry McGuire, and he gave a testimony about how, you know, maybe 50 years ago, he and his wife, you know, they had a season of testing, and they just purposed in their heart they were going to trust God. And Barry McGuire, he said, "I've learned this, you know, personally, family, business, that God is not going to let anything ultimately hurt you. Now, he will use things for your sanctification and your purification and conforming you to the image of Jesus and your holiness, but ultimately, over the long pull," he said, "I can look back and say, decades and decades of life, everything God has worked for our good and our growth and his glory." And so, you know, we want to be happy, but God offers us something much, much better than that, which is holiness and joy.
Amen, Alex. Well said. Are these things that are difficult and hard going to make you bitter or better? Listen, receive it, let God use it, and bring you through to the other side, and he'll say, "Well done."
Will you take a moment and celebrate life with me? Last year, Preborn helped to rescue over 67,000 babies from abortion. Hi, this is Bert Harper, and I want to thank you for your partnership. Think about what you did. 67,000 babies are taking their first breath now because of you. Your $28 sponsored one ultrasound that was given to a woman as she was deciding about the future of her child. Once she saw her precious baby for the first time and heard that sweet heartbeat, her baby's chance at life doubled. But Preborn's mission is not only to rescue babies' lives, but also to lead women to Christ. Last year, Preborn Network Clinics saw 8,900 women receive salvation. Your help is crucial to continue their life-saving work.
right now. Want that mountain to move right now. Want the ocean to part right now. God, I'm looking for you, and I'm wondering where you are. But why do I worry? God, I know you haven't failed me yet. Why do I worry? You prove it over and over again.
Amen. What a song. He does. He proves it every time. And that's what we're studying here in Romans chapter 8. We just got through talking about how God proves himself to help us to be what God intended us to be. We got to cooperate with him. He doesn't do it against our wills, just like being saved. We've got to come and surrender our life to him. And then when those things happen, we want to go to God and say, God, I'm yours. Mold me and make me. That I'll be what you want me to be. This is Bert Harper and Alex McFarland, and you're listening to Exploring the Word. We're in the book of Romans, and it's a pretty long journey. We're spending a good bit of time here, but it is because it is so great and so good. Now, Alex, I'm not saying we go to verse 31, but I want to ask you the question in verse 31. If God is for us, who can be against us?
Huh. Nobody or no one or no thing. I mean, Paul is the master of the rhetorical question, which is a question where the answer is really obvious. If God be for us, who can be against us?
And the reason he asked that is what's happened in verses 28, 29, and 30. In other words, he's showing us how he is for us in taking all the things, and he has made it predestined that these things would take place in our lives to do what? Conform us. Now, it's not like a checklist. I got to go through that. But what happens in our lives, he's predestined that it would help us to become more like Jesus Christ. And I want to just tell you, that ultimately brings about God being glorified. That's what it talks about in verse 30. That's the whole purpose. Is our purpose after we're saved to have him to be glorified in our lives?
Amen. That's the real connection between verse 29 and verse 28. The 28 concludes the call according to his purpose. And I looked up that phrase. It's really kind of all together. And the call, okay, the believer. And the Bible says, whosoever will may come. So who is called and offered salvation? The whole human race. Whosoever will may come. And it means the ones on whom he has showed his special favor. God has favored you. He's making you aware of Jesus. If you are already a believer, he has favored you. You are saved. And the called according to his purpose and the promise that all things ultimately work together for good. Okay, let's get into 29 and 30. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. So, Bert, let me pull out a couple things. We'll go backwards. Okay, first of all, you said, wait a minute, I'm not dead and gone to heaven yet. I don't have my glorified body yet. In the eyes of God, yes, you're glorified.
Amen.
It's as good as done. And then, predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. You see, and that's where the bad things we persevere through, trusting Christ. Because I got to say, sanctification, Christian growth, mortifying the flesh, repenting, and getting more and more habitual in my hearing and following of God's Holy Spirit. Sometimes, I'm just talking about me here, I'm enough of a knucklehead, Bert. Sometimes it takes some hard lessons for me to really learn to keep on trusting God. I'm talking as a born-again believer. And, you know, it's the Christian growth, trusting God in the nighttime seasons. Mm-hmm. These things purify us and mature us in the Lord, don't they?
They really do. I remember, now I had gone through a little tunnel here in northeast Mississippi, not much, basically under a bridge, but I remember visiting the Smoky Mountains and going through some tunnels, and halfway through it, you can't see the end at either end. When you're beginning, it's in a curve, and the where it started is not in view, and where it end is not in view of you. You're in complete darkness. And Alex, I want to just tell you, that's where a lot of times we are in our understanding of what is happening to us. It's like, okay, God, I don't see how this happened to start it, and I certainly don't know what's going to happen when we get out, because we're in that curve and then that darkness, and we don't know. What do, Alex? You trust him. You bring about it. And there's this song, and it is an awesome song. I was telling Brent about it, and he's going to get it to play at some point in time. I Choose Christ. And that is, and if you read the lyrics to that song, it'll talk about the most difficult times, when you don't know where to turn. What do? I choose Christ. I choose to trust him. Let me ask you this. Going back to John chapter 6, verse 66, when many walked away and heard and followed Jesus no more, Jesus turns to Peter and the apostles, and he asked them, are you guys, I'm putting it in my vernacular the way I would, are you guys also going to go away? And Peter says, no way. To whom would we go? You have the words of life. So, Alex, when we're in that curve where we can't see the end or the beginning of the tunnel, listen, we trust him. Where else are we going to turn? Who else are we going to turn to? I choose Christ.
Amen. Well said, brother. Well said. And then, of course, and by the way, 29 and 30, much has been said and written about, okay, what does this mean? Bert, you know, predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. That means if you trust Christ, ultimately, you're not only going to grow throughout the trajectory of this life, you're going to be glorified in heaven. Actually, I really think Romans 8:29 is a pretty powerful argument for the eternal security of the believer, right?
I would too.
But then, verse 30, who he predestinated, he called, and whom he called, he justified. Now, this might sound like some complicated words strung together, but it's like I've had people that get hung up on, how do I know if I'm one of the elect? Well, you trust Christ, and he, John 6:37, the one who comes to me, I will in no way reject. And I've had people, in fact, we've had callers who said, but you mean I put my faith in Jesus? How do I know? Listen, he has said, if you come to Christ, he will receive you. And if you have received Jesus and you're saved, you've put your trust in Jesus, well, you're predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. He called you and justified you. So I guess my point in belaboring this a minute is, don't get obsessively hung up on wondering whether or not you're elect. It's like Spurgeon said, I've quoted it 100 times, the more people you evangelize, the more people you bump into that turn out to have been elected. And it's really, the ball is in our court. Whosoever will may come. And if you put your faith in Jesus, he will save you and forgive you. And I hesitate to say this, but I'm going to say, don't overthink it.
Yeah.
Take God at his word.
Amen, Alex. To whomsoever will. You know, listen, trust Jesus Christ. Listen, trust him. Leave it with him. I did this a long time ago, and I am kind of simple. When I think of things, I think, okay, this. Sometimes I can't follow everything, but I can follow this. Jesus Christ died on the cross. He overcame sin and death, and to whomever would place their faith in him by turning away from my way, turning to him, I'll in no way cast out. I did that when I was 12 years old, and I want to just tell you, it's still real years and years later. He is real. He's more real today than he's ever been in my life. He's done more work in my life than I could ever spend time telling everybody about, but trust him. Trust him.
Amen.
And I go back to six. To whom else are you going to trust? Who? What else? Science that changes all the time? government that will switch and swap because of a signature? What will you trust? I want to just tell you, there is no other way. You can't trust the bank accounts. You can't trust what you have. It is in Christ and Christ alone. Choose Christ. Choose him, Alex.
Amen. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? What Paul is saying here is this, look, the Father sent the Son of God was nailed to the cross and rose again. If God did all that, you think he's going to reject you who've sincerely put your faith in Christ? You think God's done the greater thing, moved heaven and earth, sent his Son into the world, allowed Jesus to be executed on Calvary's cross, raised him from the dead. The sky became dark. The earth quaked. It was almost like as the Son of God died on Calvary's cross, reality itself nearly unraveled. And yet, God raised him from the dead. If God has done all that, you think he's going to reject you on a technicality? No, he isn't. Who shall lay any charge?
Alex, I've held you up. No. You've talked, there's two words that I just can't get over. For us.
Thank you, Jesus.
I want everyone listening to know that's our God. He is for us. He's not against you. I know a lot of people who are listening, they've got heartache stories beyond measure, rejection, abuse, difficulty that Alex and I may not even can begin to comprehend. But I want to tell you, God wants to take you where you are, and he wants to give you life, a life abundant. Even in the difficulties and the heartaches, he is for us. Those two words popped out, Alex, and I just had to comment. Thank God he's for us. That is right.
Well, in verse 33, Bert, I've counseled with quite a few people who just can't seem to give themselves permission to rest in Jesus. You know, and we've had people email us and they'll say, you know, I've prayed the sinner's prayer countless times and I'm just, what if I die and I'm lost or something like that. Verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God who justifies. Let me say this. The Bible says Satan is the accuser, and people can be very accusatory to others. We can be accusatory to ourselves. And I'm not saying don't own up to things you've done wrong. We should. It's very mature to call sin by its right name and admit. But here's the thing. You can't even lay a charge. If you've accepted Christ, and Christ, in a legal sense, Almighty God says, this person is justified, made right in the sight of the Father, imparted with the righteousness of my Son, indwelt with my Spirit, written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hey, no one, Satan, or a lost world, or even a parent or loved one, can accuse you anymore. But even you can't accuse you. Because when you trust Jesus, your standing and your status is changed on an eternal level. You belong to the Savior. You are secure in Christ, set free by his love, grace, what he did on Calvary's cross. And Bert, I guess, you know, I don't mean to belabor the point, but I think it's a beautiful thing that we can have peace in our soul because we have peace with Almighty God.
Amen. And that's exactly where it started, about peace and life. This is it. That's what he's working in your life. And now, I just want to tell you, the Bible says that Paul wrote elsewhere, you're a new creation in Christ. The old is past, the new has come. And that newness that's in your life through the person of the Holy Spirit of God that's dwelling in you, because we've talked about the first fruits of the Spirit making intercession, the Spirit working in you. And he is there. So when we come right with God. It is God who justifies, not herself. I can't justify myself. No one else can. Only God can. And then it moves on real quickly. We got about 2 minutes left. I just want to ask the other question. He says, who can bring anything to God's elect? Who condemns? That's in verse 34. And it doesn't mean we're not going to come back to these. And in verse 35, who shall separate us? Alex, again, these rhetorical questions. Paul is driving home the message that in Christ Jesus, once you're in him and you've been justified in him, you're a part of him, you're standing on solid ground. And that solid ground has brought you out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay, as it says in the Psalms, and set our feet upon a rock and put a new song in our heart. Alex, this relationship, it's real, isn't it?
And that's why the Bible calls it so great a salvation. Hey, you remember back in verse 26, it says the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Well, then 34, we realize that also Christ the Son is interceding for us. So the Spirit and the Son are praying to the Father Almighty, and in full Trinitarian agreement, Almighty God is for you. Who is he that condemns? Nobody. It is Christ who died, rose again, and is at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. In Christ, we are redeemed.
Amen. Hey, we're going to take phone calls in this last segment. That number, 888-589-8840. If you have a Bible question, we'd love to hear it today, because we are excited about what Jesus is doing in your life.
Hey, if you've never heard of AFA Stream, let me tell you about it. It's video streaming that goes beyond just entertainment. Yeah, there are shorts and feature films for all ages, but they're all backed by scriptural themes. You'll also find resources to help you grow closer to God, along with documentaries like Culture Warrior, the story of Don Wildman and the founding of AFA. There's a lot of free content, but if you become a Great Commission partner, you'll unlock much more. Check it out today at stream.afa.net.
The Lord is my Savior, so why should I doubt my victory? Why would I question the rod and the staff that come?
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland, Bert Harper, you're listening to the American Family Radio Network. Here is the number. This is the part of the program where we take your Bible questions. We'd love to hear from you. It's 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. And tomorrow is going to be Fire Away Friday. We do all questions for all of the hour, but Maybe this is Thursday Thunder, Bert. Fire Away Friday, Thursday Thunder. But at any rate, I just want to say to everybody that listens, we sincerely appreciate it. And we thank God for each and every one of you that listens. And we really do love to hear from you.
We really do. So let's get to the phone lines. Man, people have called in. We'll do it as quickly and as good as we can. Texas, and it's Barry. Barry, thank you for calling again, brother. Appreciate you.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just have a question regarding the first two verses of Mark's Gospel, chapter 14. This is the plot to kill Jesus. Now, the Pharisees wanted this to take place, not during the feast. Now, I'm a little confused, because Jesus actually celebrated the Passover meal with his disciples. What constitutes the feast period? Was that on the Sabbath, which was to come? Or I'm not quite sure how the feast aspect fits into that timeline.
Okay. Let me make one broad statement, and Alex does great with details, more than myself, and I know that. But what's good about this, regardless of what the Pharisees were trying to do, the Sanhedrin was trying to do, Jesus was on his timeline. He's the one. And remember, he comes into to Jerusalem on the donkey, triumphant, and he is the one that's doing this, Alex. He is in control all the way. So would you go ahead and fill this in for Barry as best you can?
You know what's interesting, and by the way, Barry, thank you you're a faithful listener, and you always call with really, really good questions. You know, Bert, I looked this up, and for one thing, you know, the Passover was very, very important to the Jewish people, and I really think that the scribes and the Pharisees and the chief priests, I think they were under conviction. And they weren't proud of what they were plotting to do. And they knew that the people took Jesus to be at least a prophet, if not the fulfillment of the Messiah. And it says in verse 2, not on the feast. Now, the King James inserts the word feast day. But, Bert, I looked up the wording of it, and it implies more than one day. So I think it was this Passover weekend. Now, the Sabbath was Saturday. Jesus was crucified on a Friday. Had to be, because it was the day of preparation before the Sabbath. And let me just say, because I know that every now and then people will say, well, there were two Sabbaths that year. That really, from everything I've researched and I've consulted Christian scholars and even Jewish rabbis who have told me that they're never was such a thing as two Sabbaths in a week, that historically, even though I realize it's very common, people say, well, there were two Sabbaths that year, there's really, as far as I can research, no historical basis for that. So I think what it's saying is they said not on the feast, lest there be an uproar of the people. For one thing, they knew what they were doing was wrong, but it was this Passover, the culmination of the end of this week, which really would have been really, Wednesday through Saturday, the Passover season this week, although he was tried in the wee hours of the morning after midnight Thursday and then crucified on Friday.
Yep. Barry, thank you again for calling. Hope that helps. Let's go to Daniel. He's also in Texas. Daniel, thank you for calling today.
Daniel? Yes, gentlemen, I appreciate you. Yes, sir.
Go right ahead. Yes.
Yeah. I've just been one who have made a great mistake in my life, and I don't want to say pressured, but did have an abortion with a woman. I keep wrestling in my mind. I just want to know there's still salvation out there for me.
Daniel, there is. There is. Yes, sin is horrible, and that's why Jesus died, wasn't it, Alex?
Amen. Daniel, God bless you. God bless you. I want you to know that, yes, unequivocally, 1,000% yes, there is salvation for you. And I want you to pray with us and make sure of that. And, abortion is wrong. Abortion
is.
And I know you know that. And I know you're sorry for that. And, there's a biblical word, contrition. And to be contrite means to be sorry for our sins. And I know you are, aren't you?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Amen.
This kills me every day to know that even though I knew the Lord, I just the wrong place in my life, but it's just hard to come to grips that I even did that looking back, but I went along with it. I don't know. It's just hard.
So Daniel, let's do this. I want you to make sure and to affirm your salvation, and there's probably people, it seems like very often the devil will put the we think the worst sin we've ever committed, and Jesus could love me except for this, we tell ourselves, but Jesus loves you. And so today, on May 29th, 2025, I want you to make sure, would you pray, and everybody listening, from your heart to God, pray something like this. Daniel, say, Dear Lord Jesus.
Dear Lord Jesus, I just thank you for your your truthfulness and your faithfulness, and I'm so sorry for what I've done, and I just pray that I can put this behind me with your strength and your grace, Father. I just pray that you just take this burden from me, and that you can just let me get a clear path forward on just to put this behind me, Lord. Like, I'm so sorry.
Daniel,
my humble heart.
Amen. Say, Jesus, I believe you died for me.
Jesus, I believe you died for me.
You paid my sins on the cross.
You paid my sins on the cross.
Yes.
So please forgive me.
So please forgive me.
Save my soul.
Save my soul.
And help me to live for you.
And help me to live for you.
From this day forward.
From this day forward.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Daniel, what I want Brent to get your contact info. I'm going to send you a book Bert and I have written. But here's the beautiful thing, brother. Your soul is clean. Your name is in Christ's book. You are as saved as a person could ever be. And it may take a little while for your emotions to catch up to that, but I would beg of you to give yourself permission to be at peace, to take God at his word. Just as we were reading in Romans 8, it is God who justifies. And I believe on the authority of Scripture, in the eyes of Almighty God, Daniel from Texas is a clean as the driven snow son of the king, because you've trusted Christ, and you can rejoice in that. And do not let Satan the accuser keep you on this treadmill of self-condemnation. The past is past. It's washed away. You are a new creature in Christ, my friend.
Daniel, let me add to that. You know, you use the words, I want to get this, put this behind me. I want to just tell you, God removes it further than that. Now think of this. As far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our sin from us. Now, Daniel, I don't mean to be scientific, but this is just so real. The reason he said east to west and not north to south, you can measure from north to south. From the North Pole to the South Pole can be measured. But if you go east and you go around the equator and keep going, you'll always be going east. The sin never catches up with you. So, brother, what Alex said, you're a new creation in Christ. I want to pray for you right now. Father, I thank you for Daniel.
Yes.
I thank you for him being broken before you, God, that his sin, yes, that one sin that he did and carried out with this lady. Father, I know it was real, but other sin is just as real that separates us from God. That because of Jesus, his death on the cross, the blood that he shed, the power of the resurrection, Daniel has received forgiveness. His life is anew and fresh. Help him to understand that. As Alex said, Father, it may take a while, but let him walk in the light of your forgiveness. We're praying this and believing this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Daniel,
amen.
Stay online. We're going to get your address so we can send that to you, brother. Thank you. Thank you for calling today. Amen. Amen. Wow. Alex, it's hard to go and know, but praise God for what he's done. And so let's go to Joe in Arkansas. Joe, thank you for calling.
Thank you. Thank you for your show. There was a caller probably about 3 weeks ago that I got in on the end of it, and Alex was talking about that we don't have to go through someone else to have our sins forgiven, and I'm guessing it was talking maybe about a Catholic priest, and I have a friend who's a priest, and he talked about that Christ breathed on the apostles there, I think, before he ascended into heaven and gave them the authority to forgive sins. Can you address that again, talk about that a little bit?
Well, God bless you. Thanks for calling in. You know, Bert, I think I was commenting on 1 Timothy 2:5 that says there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And let me say, the beautiful thing is Jesus is our mediator. He is the bridge from fallen humanity to a holy God. Because being both fully God and fully man, Jesus is uniquely positioned to act as our go-between, our mediator. And while Ephesians 4:11 and 12 says that, you know, regarding vocational ministers, clergy, that God gave pastors, teachers, and evangelists for equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. But even preachers are, we're just saved sinners too. The mediator between humanity and the Lord is Jesus himself, isn't it?
It really is. He is the only one. No one else can do this. Joe, thank you. Let's go to Sandy in Mississippi. Sandy, thank you for calling today.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I guess kind of what I needed to say was kind of what Daniel was talking about a while ago. I remember coming to the Lord years ago and asking him to save me and for him to come into my heart. And then I got into some things and did some things that I'm not very proud of. And, you know, I guess the devil's been working on me, trying to make me think that I'm not saved because of that. And I was just wondering if y'all could kind of give me some scripture or advice on
okay, Sandy, that. Let me just tell you, if you don't know, the best thing you can do is ask God to come into your life and save you. Then, if that doesn't bring peace, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, the word confess, it has the idea of agreeing with, not justifying, but agreeing with God that what I did when I turned away from my way and from God's way and went my way, I was wrong, it was sinful. But God, I'm confessing that, I'm agreeing with you, and I'm asking you to forgive me and reestablish me in you. Sandy, do you know when you go back, are you assured of your salvation, or are you wondering if you really were saved?
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm wondering, because, you know, I went through a period of really studying and found, you know, thinking at one time, because I was raised in church, and thinking at one time that I was saved. And then I remember going, but then I found, you know, the Lord showed me one night that it was remorse for a particular sin, not salvation.
Okay. Well, Sandy, we don't have a lot of time. Let me, I hope, listen, I would ask, Alex, would you agree, if I were in Sandy's shoes and I had no assurance, I would come to him in faith. How about
Amen.
You?
Amen. Yes. You know, Sandy, there is salvation and there is backsliding and we repent. But let's just make sure, and right now we don't have much time, but Sandy, why don't you pray this prayer from your heart to God? Say, Dear Lord Jesus.
Dear Lord Jesus.
I'm sorry for my sins.
I'm sorry for my sins.
I believe you died for me.
I believe you died for me.
I'm trusting you, so please save me now.
I'm trusting you, so please save me now.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Now, we're almost out of time. Forgive my brevity. Stay on the line. Please give your contact info to Brent, because we're going to send you some material. But the Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's Romans 10:13. Sandy did that. The gentleman from Texas did. Bert, I know we're almost out of time, but to everybody listening, put your trust in Jesus. He's as close by as a prayer.
Call upon him. He is for us. He is for you. And he can deal with your sin. He did it on the cross. We'll be back tomorrow with more of Exploring the Word.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.